watching this morning, Sid Roth. Any of y'all ever watched Sid Roth?
Yeah.
And he had a fellow on there, I can't remember his name, but he was a minister, and he was talking about the revival. You know, the revival, we've heard, you know, much said about it. And Sid was asking what it's going to look like. And he went on to explain, and he just got back from Russia now, but he said it's all going to do with the glory of God. He said for years, you know, he ministered under the anointing, and he would say, you know, by his ministering under anointing, how, you know, things would come out of him, you know, and he'd say things and tell things. But he said the glory, he and Sid asked him, so what's the difference between the anointing and the glory? He said, the anointing comes from within, but the glory is from without. You know, outside. It's not of you, mm-hmm. you know. And I got to thinking about that and about, you know, back in the dedication of the temple, you know, and when they prayed, you know, mm-hmm. that the glory of God filled the temple. Mm-hmm. And before I go on to another gear here, I was thinking about that. And Sid was telling about being in one of his meetings, and he said they was... This woman sitting in front of him, and she was a white-haired woman, you know, elder lady, white-haired woman. And he said when the glory came in and filled the place there, that woman's hair changed colors back to her original hair color.
That's a sound.
And he was saying how the glory of the Lord will make you younger.
Woo, glory, hallelujah.
You know, but anyway, I got thinking about that, and Ephesians here, he's talking about the glory, and this end time glory. Remember when the Lord, at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there in Luke, it talks about the angel come and give glory to the Lord, you know, glory to God in the highest, all peace, you know. But here in Ephesians, chapter 1, I'm going to just pick up right here, you know, turn there. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give in you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches and of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. Mm-hmm. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. I want you to remember that. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Mm-hmm. And let's go on down in chapter 2, and starting about, say, 16 there, it says, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. And for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are being built together for a habitation of God with the Spirit. So to me, that's telling me that we are somewhat like a temple. The body of Christ is somewhat like a temple being constructed, right? You're being built up, holy temple, little temple of God. And I got thinking about that, about the temple in the old days when it was completed, and the glory, and they made their dedication, and the glory of the Lord filled that temple. And you know, I think that guy was right on key. This end time revival, that's going to be all about the glory of God, in whom no man can boast. And you think, well, what church is going, where it's going to be. I believe it'll be in Edgar Church.
Yes.
I believe the glory of the Lord. I mean, if they preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified,
mm-hmm. if they don't, they're not the church, right?
That's right. I believe the glory of the Lord. And this guy said, he said, of all past revivals, this will so far proceed. He said, what revivals in the past took years to accomplish, God will do it in just a few short days.
Yeah. Well, refer back to the outpouring. God did that in just a few days. You see how He accelerated that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to talk about that in my message. The day of go ahead. Dave, I'm just saying, just think about how fast He did that on the day of Pentecost.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
3,000 got saved at one time, then 5,000 after that. I mean, and then they just said, hey, they turned that world upside down, you know? We were, yeah. God is going to do it again.
Just think about it in our own lifetime. The Berlin Wall, it was there. Nobody could thought it. Germany was separated. It was, and what did God do? That it's gone. It was gone in a day, just about. It was tore up, people, Germany reunited. Mm-hmm. And that's something very, very small. Mm-hmm. So, God can do anything. That's right.
The glory is going to comprise everything of, of God. Everything.
Yes.
The emblems we're talking about. The,
yes.
The glory is all of God. It's the weighty. Right. It's the weighty.
It's heavy, heavy goodness, too.
It's the heavy weightiness of God. It's
heavy,
everything.
The goodness of God is His glory. Everything good is His glory. And we're going to see such good. Amen. And people are going to come in by the thousands, but there will still be people that will refuse God because they still have a choice.
But it's going to be very few.
Very few, because
very few
people would do that.
The church is going to be the talk of the world. Now the world is the talk of the world.
Yeah, it's going to be.
But it's going to change.
It's going to be triumphant and glorious.
If you're not in church, then you're the one that, you know, sometimes church people look down on, but if you're not in church, it's going to be, and the beauty of it says our sons and our daughters
amen.
Will prophesy. They're going to be a prophetic generation.
Yes, amen.
And they're going to be saying not what they want to say, but what the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit is telling them to say. You know how we studied Ezekiel the wind, and how he had to say what he was told to say, you know. So it's not, they're going to be prophesying and they're going to tell what the Spirit is saying. And that's going to, can't you see how that's going to look?
And can you imagine these kids that Satan puts in all our hearts at times, that thoughts and times, what's going to happen to this generation? Well, they're the most chosen generation there's ever been. They're going to usher in everything. With our help too, but I mean praying for them. That's why Satan's trying to get them so much, because he knows that through listening and stuff. But God's children, these are grandchildren, David. They are born with the strength that they need to do all this. Praise God. That's why it's so important for us to pray for them.
Yeah, and to have mentors.
Yes.
That would help them to get to their...
And don't agree with the lie what's happened to this generation. This generation, these generations behind us are very, very strong in God. Because they got to do a lot of the work.
Well, you see, you have to call forth that generation.
Oh,
that's
sure. We have a responsibility.
Like you said, pray.
We have a responsibility.
We call forth that generation.
And that's why praying in the Spirit is so important, too.
It is.
Because you're praying what God wants.
And
then you speak it with your voice.
Just
what he said in your prayer life.
That is good, Mary. That's good, David. That's really good.
Well, I will finish up in
go
Revelation.
All roads lead to Revelation.
And this talk about the New Jerusalem coming down. But anyway, it says, and I saw
Revelation
no temple.
What?
21, 22. It says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. And the city had no sun, neither of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Mm-hmm. You know, there in Ephesians,
Lord.
We pray that be enlightened.
Yes.
You know, the glory brings light, don't it?
Yes, it does.
You know, and it goes on here. But anyway, they look at the face of Jesus anyway. But anyway, and the nation, well, I'll just leave it right there. You know, the glory is in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And yes, amen.
And that's back to Jesus, isn't it? But that's our number one, Jesus.
That's coming back to the glorious church. He said we will be a glorious church. Yes. Glory, glory.
Yes, we will be a glorious church without spot and wrinkle.
I praise God.
God bless, God bless. Praise God. You know, we're still studying about the emblem. I was talking with the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, you know, where am I supposed to come out the emblems? Or, because I was ready for chapter two, for another chapter, but he said, no, you need to speak on the fire of God. And I said, okay, I need to speak on the fire. Fire it will be. And that's on page 45. We're going to talk about the fire. You know, Brother David was talking about the glory of God. But the glory is going to be the weight of everything that we have talked about, that we have heard about, that we've seen about. Even the emblems. And the emblems we know means symbols of the Holy Spirit. And the fire is so important to the church today. We have got to open up to the fire part of the Holy Spirit. Because when John the Baptist was baptized, and he said, there's one coming after me that gonna baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You're gonna be a church set on fire. Woo. You know, a lot of times we say, that we put a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit's the one that brings the fire. But he said, John said, he gonna baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. And didn't that happen in the book of Acts, the second chapter, when the Holy Spirit came? Let's just go there and just read what happened there. Acts, the book of Acts, the second chapter. And it said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you know, in reference to this person, divine person, that's not taken from him being a divine person as we talk about the fire. That's not taken from him. We want to still look at him as being a divine person. But he manifests, he reveals himself, he brings revelation of his character through these emblems that we are studying about him. And you know, as we was talking again about the glory, and we were saying we have to go from glory to glory. The church has to go from glory to glory.
Yes.
Until we come to this place in glory where David was talking about, the last day glory. We have to pray for hunger generations.
Yes.
Lord, let our generation be hungry. Raise up a hungry generation. Now, you know what makes you hunger in the natural? What makes you hungry in the natural? When you don't eat. Mm-hmm. When you don't eat, you get what? Hungry. Yes. But in the spirit, it's different. You only get hungry when you eat.
Yes, amen.
In the spirit. When you start eating in the spirit, that's when hunger comes. It's not like natural. In the natural, hunger only comes when you don't eat. But in the spirit, hunger comes when you eat. The more you eat of him, I mean, you can just get in the word, you're like, oh, I don't want to put this down. I know I got something else to do, but you know. It's kind of like Mary sitting at his feet.
Yeah.
in the presence of, I mean, when you're really eating in the presence of Almighty. I'm not talking about just reading the word because you got it, but I'm talking about when you're standing in the presence of Almighty God and with the Holy Spirit. And the more you eat, the more hunger you get.
Yes.
In the spirit realm. But in the natural realm, the less you eat, the more hungry you get. So we're calling forth a hungry generation. Okay, I know y'all have found chapter 2 of Acts. And it said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. We taught on wind last Sunday, and boy, it was powerful. We went to Ezekiel, we went to Old Testament, we brought it back to the New Testament. But, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It means everybody that was in that house that obeyed Jesus and went in, they were all filled in there. It wasn't just the preachers being filled or the apostles being filled. You know, everybody got that same level. Everybody got that same Holy Spirit. It said it came in like a mighty rushing wind. Now, when we talked about I'm not going to go into as deep as we went last Sunday. Wind signify breath, which gives you life. See, the church was being born. So the wind had to come because it was being born. And a rushing mighty wind came in. A sound came from heaven. Anytime something has come from heaven to earth, it makes a sound. Even when Jesus was being born, a sound came from heaven. It makes a sound. And they were being birthed. The church was being birthed there. So the wind had to come to give them birth, to give them life. They needed that life. And not only did they need the life, but they needed the fire. Because see, these was a group of people, remember, that had been hid away. They were hiding in result to what had happened to Jesus, had been... they were fearful, they were scared, they was thinking that, hey, since they got here, we're next. And Jesus had to come back to reassure them, to go and tell them, now y'all go to Jerusalem. He told them, don't y'all try nothing. Don't try to cast out nothing, don't try to do nothing until you go to Jerusalem and be endued with power, until you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the three P's of fire, his presence, his passion, and his purify. Those are the three P's of fire. Present, passion, and purify. Okay, and it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's back up to the third verse. And it said, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them. Now the cloven tongues like fire, it dealt with their tongue. You know, over in Isaiah, we see that same dealing that Isaiah had. And let's go, because see, I'm rushed for time. So let's go to Isaiah 6 chapter while we hold our place in Acts. Let's go to the 6th chapter of Isaiah. Let's go on to the first verse. In the year that as I died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one 6 wings, and with twain each covered his face, and twain each covered his feet, and with twain each did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his
glory.
And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then say I unto me, woe is me, for I am undone. See, when he got into the presence of God, he also saw himself. He said, woe unto me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my what?
Mouth.
That's what they dealt with in the second chapter of Acts.
Yes.
In the tongue.
Yes.
The fire was there. Yes. And we're going to see why it was there. And said, lo, this has touched my lips, and thy iniquity is taken away. Wait a minute, Isaiah. Iniquity is taken away. That you're moving into another. I mean, you're moving into our generation. Iniquity taken away, and its sin is purged. Wait a minute. But he had seen the Lord, and he was accelerated into another generation. And also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Now, here, before he said that, he was dealing with a sin conscience. That's what he was dealing with. He said, oh, I'm a sinner. I've been, you know, this and that. I can't go. You know, I can't do anything. He was dealing with a sin conscience. Now, but flipping back to Acts now, the second chapter. Now for the Holy Ghost to land on them and to give them the Holy Ghost and not deal with, to give them that much power to, I mean, they got an outpouring. They didn't just get to receiving of the Holy Ghost. They got an outpouring. And for them to have that much power and not deal and not be purged and not dealt with, you know, things that are in their life. That's what fire purify you. Fire burn up those things in your life. Now, this is not a destructive fire. This is a redemptive fire. It burns things out of you like sin and just stuff that just shouldn't be, you know? So it dealt with their tongues too. Said that fire was like in their tongues. They was doing, see, was doing something more than what we were seeing. And we could see it in action in the book of Acts, even when Simon wanted to buy the Holy Ghost. I mean, some of these, this generation would say, man, if you give me, you know, 100,000, yeah, we'll let you have the Holy Ghost. We'll give you. I've seen in this generation a prophet selling angels.
Mm.
Selling angels. Tell people to get in. I went, oh my God, somebody was telling me about it. Said you get in line, you could get by your angel. And then if you didn't have the amount that he was looking for, he kind of cut it down for you to buy. I went, my God. But see, fire had got in these guys' tongues and so something happened there. You couldn't buy these apostles. I mean, these apostles was different because the fire had got in there.
Mm-hmm.
Fire is very important to a sleepy generation. Paul said that this is a sleepy generation that needs to be awakened out of her sleep. And I've heard some people call it the sleeping giant, you know, but the fire is going to get on this body of believers, the church. And the fire is going to burn in their hearts and minds. And what was the three P's? His presence, his passion, and purify.
Yes.
And it'll give you a passion. These disciples had such,
yes,
apostles had such a passion. I mean, they knew how to steward the fire. See, the fire can come, and if you don't know how to steward it, they went to prayer meeting every day.
Yes.
They went to the temple and prayed. I mean, every day they steward what they had. They fasted. They prayed. They had prayer meetings. They went to church. See, if my mom, she was raised in the country, and her little job at time was to keep the fire going, and she had to keep putting logs on there. See, to keep the fire going, you have to keep.
Yes, amen.
You know, I mean, because if not, you'll cut. Paul said, quench not the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He was talking about fire. He told us to quench not the Holy Spirit. Don't put the fire. And over in Ephesians, then he turned around and tell you, quench every fiery dart of the wicked. That's where you're supposed to be quenching. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not the Holy Spirit, but every fiery dart of the wicked one. That's the one you're supposed to be quenching. And not the Holy Spirit. He said, don't quench the Holy Spirit, the one that got you sealed.
Yes.
Don't quench him. And so the church is getting that fire back into that passion, that she can wake up in the morning, that she can, you know, can come to church, can do this, can do that, get that passion back, you know. This coach was being interviewed, and he was leaving coaching, and people couldn't, man, why are you leaving coaching? You're a good coach, and the money, this, that. So he was being interviewed by this newscaster, and he said, why? We said, what is it? You just don't love football anymore? He said, yeah, I still love football. He said, I just don't have that passion for it. That's the reason I'm getting out of it. I don't have that passion. The church has got to come back to that passion. And that fire will certainly give you that passion. We're not going, I don't know if we're going to be able to turn. Yeah, we're going to turn there. We're going to read it. Y'all just allow me some time here. Just a little time. The 24th and the 30th. The 24th chapter of Luke. And let's see where we want to. Okay, this is when Jesus was crucified, and he came in and start walking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. I'm trying to see where could we begin. Huh?
Verse 13.
Yeah, but I'm dealing with time.
Okay,
26 verse, it says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scripture the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village with whither they went. And he made, though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is afterward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. The 32nd verse is where we want to drop. It said, and they said one to another, didn't our hearts burn?
Amen.
Didn't our hearts burn? Shakatatiya, sakatiya. Our hearts burn. You know, when Jesus was, you know, expounding and talking to them and teaching them about what had happened, because they were very sad over what happened. They thought, they were saying, we thought he was the Messiah. And, you know, they were disciples. You know, they had, you know, changed their lives, you know, and they thought, hey, this was him. You know, Jesus had joined himself to them, and they're saying, you must be a stranger around here, because everybody know what has taken place, what has gone on, you know. And, you know, we thought he was the Savior. We thought he was, you know, this and that. And they was losing hope as disciples. But Jesus came in at their lowest hope, at their lowest, and brought them back up, got their hearts a-burning again. Mm-hmm. They said, whoo, didn't their hearts burn as they walked away? That was Jesus teaching us. They said, whoo, you know, and he just went on his way because he had done his work. Them disciples was excited. And that, a burning heart would burn somebody else's heart. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He put their hearts burning. I mean, they were burning. They were like, oh, God, didn't our hearts burn as he walked along the way, as he expounded. And their eyes was open as he break the bread. That's a communion. I taught that during communion one time. Oh, I'm after, oh, it's after 10. Jesus. Look, what, come on up.